Welcome to Juno Afternoon from listener-supported KTOO. It's Friday, September 1st, 2023. I'm your host, Boston Christopher Gunathjish Hawa, for joining the conversation. We've got a wonderfully full show for you today. Two picnics happening in the next week. First, this Labor Day from the Juno Central Labor Council, and then next Saturday, September 9th, from the Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition in honor of Suicide Prevention Month, along with a bunch of other events that we'll talk to them about. Then we've got some First Friday events today with author Kevin Myers and artist Guo Ramirez, and a special treat as we talk about muskeg harvesting and have a little music to celebrate the change of the season. A full hour of conversation and music coming up on this Friday's Juno Afternoon.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the Shu Yi, we Kashuk are ye tin. Jin katka ke jin talk anakaya haani kuk gunish cheese.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. September is National Suicide Awareness and National Alcohol and Drug Recovery Month. On September 9th, the Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition will be hosting a community picnic from 11 to 2:30 and canoe healing journeys from 9 to 2 at Sandy Beach. And there will be a lot of other events happening this month as well. Here to share about this are Aaron Surma from NAMI Juno and Tina Diasis-Semeniego from Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition. Hi, Gunath Cheese for being here today.
Hi, Boston.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for having us.
Of course. It's so nice to have you all in the studio. I know there's a lot going on this month, but let's just get a sense of who you are and what your organizations are. So let's start with Aaron.
Yeah. So my name is Aaron Surma. I'm the director of NAMI Juno. And one of our programs at NAMI Juno is the Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition. And what we want to do with the coalition is kind of empower people, activate people to become more involved in suicide prevention. I think sometimes the thought is that professionals prevent suicide, right? You got to go to an expert. You got to go to a therapist or a psychiatrist or a doctor to prevent suicide. And those are certainly helpful things, but like everyone can help prevent suicide. Connection is an antidote to suicide, and anyone can help connect with another person, particularly when they're struggling. And the more comfortable you are with talking about the topic of suicide, the better equipped you are to supporting a loved one who might be struggling.
Absolutely. And Tina, tell us a little bit about the Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition.
Absolutely. So as Aaron was saying, is that what we do is we offer community education so that folks can know how to respond to suicide, how to recognize if an individual is suffering or for themselves, so that they could know where to get help. And you know, just basically, what does prevention look like? The other thing that we do is, of course, awareness, and we have community events such as a picnic coming up so that people can connect. And those are important things.
That's awesome. So this month is specifically dedicated to suicide awareness. It's also, as I mentioned in the intro, National Alcohol and Drug Recovery Month. Why is it important to have something like National Suicide Awareness Month? What does that do?
Like Aaron was saying, is that it really brings people together. And the picnic, you know, we really work off the idea of community supporting community. And what the picnic offers is first support to suicide loss and attempt survivors. And then it also celebrates those that are already doing prevention and prevention work, any type of prevention work. is, whether it be for drug and alcohol, you know, prevention is, that's going to help with suicide as well. And then it invites the rest of the community to get involved and to learn about what's already being done and perhaps find their role in the community as individuals, as organizations, what have you. Just how important connection is, you know, if what you get is a reminder to call somebody who might be struggling, that's a big deal.
Right. And this picnic, let's talk a little bit about that. It's next Saturday. And it's, is it a bring a dish kind of a thing, or are there going to be food provided? I know it's like, is it a, what is actually going to be?
Well, there is going to definitely be food provided, and but folks are welcome to bring a dish if you'd like. We ask that you bring a serving utensil with that. And there's going to be games. There will be dancing, native dancing.
Awesome.
Yes, it's going to be great. There will be a demonstration from the Native Youth Olympics. We're excited about that. Face painting, I think a lemonade stand and cotton candy, and just a great time for everybody.
And face painting isn't just for the little ones. I'm assuming I could get it as well.
Absolutely. In fact, I will do it.
And so it is for all ages. Is there going to be discussions or topics or like speeches or anything? Or is it really a coming together sort of as a kind of, you know, not necessarily a celebration, but is it a coming together, like you said, for community and to meet people and chat about things?
It's exactly that. Yeah. It's whatever you want it to be. There will be literature that's there. There will be some gun locks and Narcan kits, things of that nature, means reduction, things that'll be there. And then literature from other organizations and maybe some resources if you're looking for help. You know, what you can do there. But that's kind of on the outside of it, really. What we want people to do is just come eat and have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, then there's also going to be this canoe healing that's happening at the same time. It starts at earlier, actually. It starts at 9, right? So you could do some canoeing and then get the picnic, or come to the picnic and then go canoeing.
Exactly. That's exactly how it was designed.
All right.
Yeah. So the One People Canoe Society is partnering with us, and they will be offering 3 2-hour healing journeys.
Oh, wow.
Yes. We are so appreciative of their support. And you really want to register to make sure that you have time. Oh. You can canoe in a group, or life jackets are going to be provided, and canoeing experience is not necessary. And it's really meant to just have some time healing on the water. It is, like I said, for loss and attempt survivors. If there's room in the canoe, you know, in the canoes, and you show up, there, you may be able to get on, but we really recommend that you register.
Right. Okay. And Aaron, is there other things that we want to know about the picnic in terms of, you know, connection, or I guess there'll be a way to connect with the coalition and sign up for different things. And there are a lot of learning opportunities that day.
Yeah. So I think going back to your question, like there's a suicide prevention month. What does that mean?
Yeah.
And really, it's kind of a kick in the pants for organizations like us to engage with the greater community. And the hope is that we bring folks into the fold at the picnic, and then engage the rest of the year in some more substantial learning. So we have different presentations later on in the month, and we're also just there to talk. And I think anytime we're in public, even at, you know, like we've been at Public Market before, and we're Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition, and people are eager for the opportunity to just kind of spill their guts about the topic, because there aren't a lot of opportunities to talk about suicide. So we're there to chat. Folks, not, you know, no one needs to show up and listen to a speech by us. No one needs to talk to share their most intimate stories. But a lot of times people want the opportunity to go to a place where it's okay to talk about something that is often not okay to talk about.
To connect, right? To connect. And also, no, I think one of the big things to recognize is, and to connect with people so that you know that you're not alone.
Exactly.
Right? Like if you're having thoughts, or if you're dealing with somebody who is having thoughts, or who has, you know, taken their own life, like that's something you need to speak about, right? And keeping that internal can be harmful for yourself in that way then too. And so like having that healing journey is part of it. And I love the canoe aspect of this, that you can get out on the water, and because there's nothing like being on the water in terms of finding peace, right, in that moment. And so connecting that with then the food and the other folks that will be there, I think that's really, really great. So let's talk about some of the other, we can highlight them. I think we're going to have you all back about the middle of the month maybe and talk a little bit more about some of these events. But let's talk about them just so we know that, so that people can find out that they're happening. So there's a training that's happening about the middle of the month. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So the first one is QPR, and that's on September 14th. And that's asking someone if they're suicidal. So becoming more comfortable having that conversation. You know, there's a world of difference. Like, let's say I'm worried about your mental health, Boston. And I'm like, Boston, you've been different lately. What's going on? Mm. You know, that there's a much different tone there between, hey, Boston, I care about you. Have you been struggling lately? Mm. I know I've struggled before, right? So like, there's a difference in tone. There's a difference in the words you use, whether or not this is going to be something, a conversation that you, the person I'm worried about, want to be a part of. And so that presentation, QPR is all about having that conversation and having it in a way that is opening the door to talking about a difficult discussion, as opposed to less effective ways of having the discussion.
Right. Okay. And then that sounds amazing. And then there's a recovery candlelight vigil that's happening as well.
I think the vigil is no longer happening.
Oh, it's not happening.
Maybe we got like a little bit of an outdated flyer
okay.
over there in front of
sorry.
You.
Sorry. Sorry about
that.
We
are also doing a presentation, suicide safety planning, on the 19th.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And that is creating a plan for yourself, how to stay safe when you're in a mental health crisis.
Oh, I got you.
And
okay.
So that's the other educational opportunity this month. QPR and the safety planning are two presentations we do regularly. And safety planning is, you know, recognizing the warning signs when your mental health is getting worse. I know for me, I wish I had like a mental health thermometer for myself, but I don't always notice that my mental health is getting worse. I kind of have to look for clues. And so that's step one of a safety plan, just looking for the clues. How do you know that your mental health is getting worse? Maybe you're not sleeping as often, not eating as often, whatever it is, withdrawing from activities. And then what's the stuff that you do to make yourself feel better?
Yeah.
And you kind of go from things you can do yourself all the time, maybe asking for help. And then like, what are you going to do in a crisis when your mental health is so depleted that you might consider killing yourself to get yourself to a better place.
Gotcha. Okay. And then I see that there's a gathering of Alaska Native youth on the 17th and 18th to discuss mental health issues as well.
Yes. And that's actually being hosted by Gold Belt Heritage Foundation. Reaching our youth is a big, important part of what we do in ensuring wellness in our communities.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're really, really tickled that they are doing that. I did want to mention something about the safety plan also that Aaron was talking about. Excuse me, like with any plan, having a safety plan in advance of feeling bad is really important. And so if you've not, many people are aware of safety plans. The suicide safety plan that will be happening will be suicide specific. And so there will be some other insight about suicide. So I think that that's really a helpful event.
That's awesome. And then I know the final thing that I have here for now anyway is a recovery bonfire at the end of the month. And you can find out more information about that, I'm sure. Where do we go to find out information about all this, all these events and stuff?
So we have flyers posted on our social media. Social media is on Facebook and Instagram. You can look for Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition and see that. You can go to our website, junosuicideprevention.org, and scroll down and you'll see the same flyers on that website.
And there's a link there, a little tiny URL link, and it links you to the Google Doc, right? That has all of the, and you're going to keep updating that throughout the month as events happen, or like as I didn't know that something was canceled. I didn't look enough at the latest flyer.
Yep, exactly.
I got you. That makes sense. But the first thing that we want to make sure that people know about is the picnic next week on Saturday, September 9th, from 11 to 2:30. And then the canoe healing journeys, that's part of that, from 9 to 2 at Sandy Beach. And you mentioned signing up for the canoe journey. Is a link to that in that Google Doc?
It is.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
It is. And there's probably a link to sign up with the One People Canoe Society as well. And you can, if you're struggling with finding that, you can reach out to junosuicideprevention.com.
Okay.
org.
Yeah, the .orgs. And I'll make sure I put the links on the website for the page for today's episode as well. Tina and Aaron, thank you so much for coming in and highlighting suicide prevention, Suicide Awareness Month, and also National Alcohol and Drug Recovery Month with all these events that will be happening. It's very important, and I love the connection to community. So Gwyneth Cheesh for coming in today. Thank you.
Always grateful Gwyneth for the Cheesh. Opportunity to talk. Thanks.
Up next, a totally different kind of picnic happening this Labor Day from the Juneau Central Label Council. This is Juneau Afternoon from KTOO. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Glenadie have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages, and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. This is Juneau Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Juneau Central Labor Council is a community organization elected by workers for workers, and they are having a barbecue picnic this Labor Day. Here to tell us all about it is Miguel Rohrbacher. Hi, Miguel. How are you? Gwyneth Cheesh for being here.
Thanks for having me. We've got the event coming up on Monday. Kind of the reason for the season when it comes to Labor Day.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for that day. That's a good one. There's a lot of folks that I know in my personal life who are on strike from the Writers Guild of America and the SAG-AFTRA strike affecting, you know, a lot of different things. Labor unions are really important. Tell us a little bit about the Central Labor Council, what the goal of the council is, and what other kinds of events besides the picnic that you all do.
So the Central Labor Council is kind of the local unit of governance for the AFL-CIO, the American Federation of Labor and Congress of Industrial Organizations.
Whoa!
which is not a union itself. A lot of people misconception. The AFL-CIO is kind of the Chamber of Commerce of unions. So it's kind of a overarching umbrella, and the Central Labor Council in each town, Anchorage, Juneau, Fairbanks, is, and communities all over the country, is a place for representatives from all the various unions and different trades, whether it's the building trades like plumbers and electricians or writers and actors with SAG-AFTRA in some communities, hotel workers, in Juneau, a lot of public employees, state employees, local government employees, to get together and discuss and strategize ways to improve the lives of working people. And so that kind of varies from working on minimum wage stuff to advocating for projects that, you know, have high paying construction jobs for folks. So it's a really wide array of interests, but the common denominator is we're all representing working people, and we all are working people.
Yeah. Do we know how many unions there are in Juneau?
I would probably say there's a dozen individual unions up in Juneau at any given time. As you said, there's, you know, members of unions who are kind of here on their own. But Alaska as a whole has some of the highest like union density in the country. So
what leads to that? Is that just the different industries that we have here and their proclivity to have unions involved?
A lot of it is historical. So Alaska kind of developing in these different waves where you had high union activity, and that stayed through. So like pipeline days, there's a lot of people who came in with pipeline, with building trades, of course, high government work population. And then even going back to like fish canneries and stuff, there have been unions in Alaska for, you know, over 100 years.
Wow.
So,
well, that's awesome. So let's get to this picnic that's happening. Is this a sort of a celebratory kind of thing to celebrate all the folks in the various unions and a chance to get together and meet other folks from different unions?
Totally. This is a non-advocacy or educational event. This is really just about coming down, and if you're a union member, it is your day. You're the reason why we all have the day off is celebrating organized labor. So if you're a union member or a family member of a union member, or even just kind of interested, come on down, have some ribs, hot dogs, burgers. We'll be grilling from 11:30 to 2 on Monday at Sandy Beach. It's a serious reason for the day, but we're just having fun on Monday. Just a day for, you know, solidarity and celebration, having a good time.
Yeah. And I mean, it is advertised as a barbecue, and it sounds like you just listed off some of the most yummy things.
And that's one of the cool things about labor is there is, you know, especially with the building trades, there's just kind of a cultural vibe of there's a lot of dudes who know how to smoke really good meat. So that's been a nice part of being part of the labor movement.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful thing. So, I mean, the grills are going to be fired up on Monday. And you said that goes from 11:30 to 2. So it's not even that long of an event. You can just pop in, have some food, say hi to some folks, hang out for a little bit, maybe go down to the beach. Hopefully it's a nice day. It's always nice when a holiday happens and the weather holds up for us all. That's kind of good. And you're specifically at the log cabin shelter there out at Sandy Beach, right?
Yeah, the one that's enclosed in the back there.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's a nice area. So what else is coming up for the Labor Council? What's up next after the picnic?
So we do a number of things throughout the year. Central Labor Council has rented out the pool in the past. We're getting ready with the elections. We just finished a series of endorsements. So interviewed all the candidates for assembly and school board on issues of concern to working people, which when you have, you know, 10 or 12 different unions, there's a lot of different things you have to ask them about and kind of come to that consensus. But so doing that, and then kind of working throughout the year as issues come up. And yeah, the Central Labor Council is also, there's also a Building Trades Council, which is where the building trades get together and do the same thing.
Branch out. Yeah. And what's the best place to follow the information that the Labor Council puts out?
I would say the best place to to find what's going on in labor in Alaska, it would be on Twitter. And if you go to the hashtag Alaska Union Strong or follow the AFL-CIO on Twitter, Alaska AFL-CIO. The Central Labor Council also has a Facebook page here in town with more local stuff.
Oh, great. Yeah. And I know I saw the Facebook page, Juno Central Labor Council. You just put that into Facebook and or follow on X.
Yes. Sorry, not Twitter. The app formerly known as Twitter.
I like that. The app formerly known as Twitter. Well, Miguel, thanks for coming in and telling us about this. It's the Juno Central Labor Council. They're having their barbecue picnic this Labor Day from 11:30 to 2 p.m. That's Monday, September 4th. And it sounds like there's going to be some good eats.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for coming in. Gunth Cheesh.
Thank you very much.
Up next, muskeg harvesting and the changing of the seasons. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. This is a little Black Belt Eagle school. It's called Indians Never Die, and they're going to be performing at Ock Rock this September. Coming up, we'll be right back here on Juno Afternoon.
Wasting, wasting, wasting away. Wasting, wasting, wasting away.
Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Well, time to talk a little gardening, a little sustainable harvesting, that kind of thing. And it's also the changing of the seasons. And we want to talk muskegs with our guest, Naomi Michelson. Hi, Naomi.
Hello.
Absolutely.
Good afternoon, everyone.
It's great to have you here. And we're going to have a special treat that Naomi brought in. A wonderful person named Gary Sterling, who might be sharing a song that has to do with kind of like seasons changing and all that kind of stuff. So, hi, Gary. Nice to see you.
Hello. How are you?
I'm excellent.
Hi, everyone.
So, Naomi, will you first remind our listeners about your foodways business and your respectful harvesting guidelines?
Sure. Kase yuchat duwasak, wushkita nachatsiti. Tus hit dach ayahat, akkwan away yuhan, dak anak away haani, dak den tan yari ayahat. My Thlinkit name is Kase, named after my grandmother, and I am a Wishkitan eagle, tus hit from the shark house, and my family's from the Berners Bay area, and so this is home to me, and I'm really glad to be back. And I'm a child of the Dakdaintan from the Huna area, my father's people. And I started a business called Kase Indigenous Foodways to help people connect back to the land and to learn more about this beautiful place that we live in. It's amazing. We have such abundance and so many possibilities. And also the majority of the reason was not only just to heal, but to really learn to love these things and learn more about what we have available. And when we do that, we automatically want to protect it. And so to make sure that we have these beautiful plants and foods for our grandchildren and beyond.
Absolutely. I know we had you on a month or so ago, end of July, and I will repost some of that because I know I have the Respectful Harvesting Guidelines link there as well, something that definitely people should be looking into. So let's talk about muskeg harvesting. What is muskeg?
Well, you know, it's a really good question, but muskegs, or sometimes called bogs, are we're so lucky that we have these areas in Southeast Alaska. And I think of them as ancient, sacred ecosystems. Mm. And they take years and years to grow. And so I really feel like it's a special place to go and to step out on the muskeg is like to being in, you know, this another world, really. It's so beautiful out there. And I just took my father and Uncle Gary out to a little boardwalk past Eagle Beach. And we went out and looked at all the plants this morning. And it's just really a special place that is very important to our just this the balance of this place that we live in on Tlingit Ani.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know people might hear the word and think it's some kind of musk egg. It's not that. Yeah, it's an environmental area, right, that is used. It's sort of like a, not really a wetland, but it's like birds use it, animals use it. It's sort of like an, it's like you said, it's an ecosystem that, right, gets created over time. And so what is the harvesting part of that?
Right. Well, it's very high and it's very acidic. And so certain things, so many plants grow there. But as far as the harvesting part of the muskegs, it really is depending on the season. And right now we are getting into the bog cranberry season. And so you can, if you got out on the muskeg, you can kind of see them out there now. But I'd wait another week, couple weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, and they're going to be good for the next couple months. And so cranberries are loaded in vitamin C, and our wild foods are organic whole foods that really so nutritious for us. They make some of the things that we buy in the grocery store. They're just over the top good for us.
And the fact that they're grown on the musk egg or near that, does it make them richer and taste like that much better?
I think that about all of our foods here.
Yeah.
But definitely for the, I feel like it's, they're so interesting to watch grow too, because they're kind of hiding underneath the moss and they kind of pop up when they're they're ready to, and they're out above the moss. Some of them are now, and then they'll continue to, there might be white or pinkish now. But they're ready to pick after the first frost sometimes. And when they're red, just like they look like in the, in the grocery store, but they're, some can be, they're all different shapes. Another plant that could be found near the muskegs is related as well, the lingonberry. And that's out there. We've passed the season of the cloudberry, which is one of my most favorite berries. And that's also found here in Juneau. We have the cotton grass and the crowberry, which is also, if you lived up in the interior in the Bethel region and Hooper Bay, they'll call those blackberry. But we call them crowberries. Mm-hmm. And the tundra tea, one of our most favorite and special medicinal plants here that we have, Sichshaldin and Tlingit. And it's, a lot of times we'll pick that in the fall. So this is a great time. And I did a small little field trip with some kindergartners here, and we went to the place out by Eagle Beach. And the teacher took the time to talk about respectful harvesting before they went out. And this was a very special group and teacher as well. They They learned the Tlingit name before they went out. They learned about respectful harvesting. They watched videos on what it looked like and not to confuse it with one of the poisonous plants. They had a plan to pick this tea and share it with their family. And so they were following all of the guidelines to a tea. And there were such great examples. I remember this boy that dropped his tea. And, you know, he could have gotten real upset, but one of his friends came next to him and said, "Oh, it's a good thing we're working Wu Chi'in," and which is working together. And so I thought it wasn't about how much tea they can pick. It was about learning together. They were out with their families. They were really careful of how they identified it. They took the time to spend with a teacher beforehand. And I just remember the respect they had for the tea in their little buckets. And these were kindergartners.
I love it.
Looking down, and they just looked at the tea and was like, "Ah, sik shaltin." And might have just had two little tea leaves in his bucket. But just to see our young ones doing that.
That is amazing. Yeah. That's really great. Yeah. I think it's like so important too, because I know that sometimes, you know, people are using it to, they harvest it, they harvest the area for soil and things like that. And we want to make sure that it doesn't get overdone, because then you lose the opportunity of this beautiful growth that can happen. And that's really something that is to sustainable harvesting and learning how to do that. And it's so heartwarming to know that the littles are that's happening.
They're going to be our teachers and leaders. There's so many more muskeg plants, juniper, the round leaf sundew, just all sorts of, you can go on and on, but I would encourage people to look carefully and, you know, try to protect this area just like we would any other area, so that, because it takes, you know, over 50 years to grow back. And so if we go to a place and pick berries at a spot, then, you know, we want to make sure that, it's protected. And so, yes.
What was that, when you gave me this morning when we went on the tour? The sour one.
Oh yeah. Well, we tasted the cranberries, and I told him, "Well, you know, it's not ready for another month."
But please wait for another month.
but I said, when you're traveling, as my Uncle Gary is coming in from Sydney, we got to stay healthy, and so it's like I said, here's your vitamin C for the day.
Right on. Well, let's hear a little Uncle Gary. We have a song that we just decided to do this a couple hours ago, so we're gonna make it work. But Gary, if you want to stand up at that microphone, and then I have the song here queued up. Right. Here we go. Let's start it out.
Everything has changed. Everything was changed. Nothing stays the same. Everyone has changed. Nothing stays. Becomes the old, mysteries do unfold, 'cause that's the way of time. Nothing goes unchanged. There are not many things you can be sure of, except rain comes from the clouds, sunlight up the sky, hummingbirds do fly. Winter turns to spring, it's too soon. Nothing and no one, and nothing and no one goes unchanged. Young becomes the old. Mysteries do unfold. But never much too soon. Nothing and no one, and nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are not many things you can be sure of, except rain comes from the clouds. Sunlight's up the sky, hummingbirds do fly. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. If you're young, you're gonna grow old one day. Nothing stays the same. It's the blood of spring.
We'll turn to First Friday events with author Kevin Myers and Glo Ramirez. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Thank you, Naomi.
Good night.
Thank you. You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Today, we're going to end with two First Friday events, although one of the persons, Kevin, has an event next week as well that we'll mention. But I have in the studio now, I have both Kevin T. Myers, author, and I have Glo Ramirez, artist. So thank you both for coming in today. Gwyneth Cheese, for being here. How are you, Glo?
Thanks. I'm doing great. Very awesome. Excited about today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know both of your events are going to be starting here in just a few minutes. But Glo, let's start with you. So you are a, excuse me, you're an artist who lives here in Juneau. Tell us a little bit about your background and the kind of work that you do.
So I was born and raised in Puerto Rico, but I've been lucky to be a guest in Klinkerani for a couple of years now. I mostly do illustrations. I think that's what makes me happy, but I work on plenty of mediums between watercolors, acrylics, resins. And I just like to call myself a creative more than anything, because it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what you're doing, right?
As long as I enjoy it, it's okay.
Yeah, and I love in your thing that you sent me, you said that you make cute but cool statement pieces.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that. Break that down for me. I mean, I've seen your stuff and it is adorable, but then you're also sort of saying something with that, right? There's a story in everything that we do artistically.
It's just a way of, I like to make statement pieces for people to feel joy. I feel like that's the main thing. I create earrings, apparel, and art, and all of them are with the same theme or the same goal in mind, and that it's for people to feel joy when they get a compliment about those awesome earrings that you don't see around that much, or when you feel the joy of being in a really cozy sweatshirt because it feels like a hug, or just looking at a piece of art that will make you smile. So it could be any, like, the background story of it might not be as great, but what I want to highlight every single time is just that there is a moment of joy in any type of story that we get.
Absolutely. And what is your First Friday? What are we going to look forward to? And I know they start like in an hour, or actually 45 minutes. So you guys are going to be rushing out of here to your events. So what is yours going to be consisting of?
So I will be at Busting Out Boutique.
Awesome.
And it is eight pieces of illustrations of semi-naked ladies. It's like cute illustrations, just trying to bring the joy of having a bigger body to having deeper, dark skin. And it's just like contrast, or, you know, for all that time that you've been told, like, all the things that you cannot be or you shouldn't be, or how you need to look. So this is just like they're small, but pretty beautiful, in my case, beautiful pieces.
They are beautiful.
Just tells you, like, there is beauty on everything.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And it seems great that it's going to be at Bustin' Out Boutique.
Yeah.
Is it going to be on the walls there? Did you put them on stands, or how did you set it up?
Yes, you will see the store if you haven't been there, because there are two big pieces in the window. And then on the right wall there, you will see the eight pieces. There will be earrings, stickers, pins, everything not everything, but most of the things that I make related to this topic is going to be there.
That's awesome. And you'll be there the whole time from 4:30 to 7, so people can come by and chat with you and say hi?
Yes, definitely. I'll be there.
And are the things that are on the wall, are those going to be available for people to purchase and put a little red dot on and be like, that one's mine?
That's yours if you want it tonight.
That's awesome. And also, I don't know if this is, I, I should say it or not, but I just want to let people know that, by the way, Glow has designed our fall membership merchandise. So you can look forward to that. It is, I'm not even going to give it away. I'm not going to give spoilers. It is amazing what she's done. And your artwork is so, it is, it's cute, but it also makes a really cool statement. And I think that is wonderful. Your style is amazing. And that's really cool. So where do we follow you and your work? Are you on Instagram? Are you in all those different places?
Yes. Instagram will be at Glow Inc. INKPR. And then, the same on Facebook, Glow Inc.
So it's GLOINKPR?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I have a webpage, glowinkpr.com. And yeah.
Put it all out there. Yeah, right? Get it all out there. For yes. Sure. That is really cool that we can follow. I love that you have the same thing for all of that. That's really good. Like you have a Glow Ink, which is nice because ink is like art, right?
Yeah.
So, and is there different forms that you work in? You were mentioning earrings and different things like that, but is there a specific kind of thing you gravitate towards in terms of material?
Watercolors. And now I'm like diving into digital art, which is what I used to design and do like the members drive design.
Okay, yeah. I see. All right, that's really awesome. And when you're working on your own stuff, where does that inspiration, what strikes you? Do you see like an image in the world and you want to create that artistically? Or what is it that kind of gets that impulse going for you?
I think it's just comes, I guess. Most of the things that you can see now, I've been kind of like making little versions of it for the past 10 years. Like these girls that I'm showing tonight, or the monsters that I'm mostly known in town for, has been just stuff that I've been working different versions of it. They do resonate with me in here. Like monsters are mostly, or the ones that I make, they're cute, they're cuddly, but they come maybe from a darker background. It's because I was always afraid that I was in Juno on my own, no family. There was no night during the summer. And it started going like, there is the first monster that it's actually, it has a name. It's Nyx. It's the mother of the night, where everything else comes from. So it has maybe a background of mental health. And then, you know, just the fact that in that case, if things are cute, cuddly, I can hang out with them. Like fears might not disappear, but I can keep going because they're not as scary as I thought it was. In this case, for the girls, it's just like all those thoughts of things that you were not supposed to be. But you at some point, the world is so messed up that you need... You cannot break someone's spirits. And sometimes I feel like when I was younger, I could have been better if I had something to look out for, like something that wouldn't look grotesque or ugly. So these are cute and pretty because of that. It's like a way of saying, like, you can be pretty too. It doesn't matter. And the world doesn't need to break your spirit.
Absolutely. It's Glow Ramirez. She's going to be at Bustin' Out Boutique in about 40 minutes or so.
Yes.
And you can see her artwork there, and you can follow her, Glow, GLOINKPR, on all the socials and websites. Just Google that, and I'm sure you will find it. So that's awesome. Thank you for that, Glow.
Thank you so much.
Now, Kevin T. Myers, we interviewed Kevin back on July 25th, just before his new book, Need Blind Ambition, was to be released.
Yeah.
Well, it's out now.
Yes.
And you're having a first Friday signing tonight at Hearthside, as well as you're going to be doing a talk next Tuesday. So, Kevin, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I didn't anticipate being on the show with Glow, but I just feel like I now am exuding joy just by being this close to her.
I know. I know. Exactly. That is the thing. So, and it probably also helps to be next to Globe because now your book is out. It's a nice relief that the book is out, right?
It is. It provides me with a lot of joy and hopefully others as well.
It's a very joyful kind of day. So,
it is.
We had a really full show today.
Yeah.
And it was, things are happening. I love that fall is back and things are happening. But remind us a little bit about just the plot of Need Blind Ambition.
Yeah. So it starts and ends in Juneau. It actually starts and ends on the ferry. Kind of a quick, funny aside is I was on the ferry with Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
Oh.
And I was able to hand him a copy of the book and just let him know how much the ferries mean to, you know, folks here in Juneau. And he seemed to be very thankful and – you know, so the ferries will probably never want for funding ever again. That is what I'm assuming. But yeah, the super quick nutshell. So Need Blind Ambition is about a guy who goes to work as a media relations person for a big fancy college down in Portland, Oregon. And right when he gets there, he finds out that the college is being sued by a former security guard who says that he was fired for not colluding in the cover-up of a heroin ring.
Oh.
So the media guy is told that, you know, this is not true. It's a frivolous case. But then as the book goes on, start to wonder if it might be true.
And then you find out. We figure out what happens. So tonight you're doing a signing at the downtown location of Hearthside Books. But quickly, I want to talk about the reading and book signing next Tuesday. What is the reading? Is that
so tonight, a couple days from now. Yeah.
So yeah, on Tuesday, right? Tuesday the 5th. So you're going to be there at 7 p.m. on Tuesday night. Today you'll be there from 4:30 to 7 during First Friday.
Right.
But this reading and book signing, what is that going to consist of?
Well, I'm going to talk about the book, kind of talk about the inspirations, kind of some of the, you know, what motivated it, you know, kind of some of the stories behind the book. And then there'll be a Q&A. So it'll be like a half hour of me kind of talking about the book and reading some passages, about a half hour of Q&A, and then a half hour for anybody who would like me to sign the book.
That's absolutely cool. And how do you pick the passages that you're going to share? Do you pick the juicy bits? Or
it's kind of – this is so hard, right? Yeah. It's kind of the hardest part of it because you want things like – right? You want it to be like a movie trailer, like where you want like the parts that are going to resonate, that are going to be funny or touching or poignant. But you also don't want them to be spoilers, right? And so parts of it I've sort of talked about some of the themes and sub-themes of it, and then I chose passages that speak to that. And in some of them, I had to kind of like jump around so that I didn't have any spoilers.
And you don't want to give anything away,
not
right?
Too much.
It's a tease, right?
It's just a tease.
And so where do we find out more about you more about the book?
So you can go to my website, Kevin T. Myers, and Myers is spelled M-Y-E-R-S, so no spaces, kevintmyers.com. And it has stuff about my bio. There's some shorter writings that I've done. You can buy my other book, Hidden Falls, and things like tonight's event will be listed on there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's First Friday Madness starting here in about a half an hour. I really appreciate both Kevin T. Myers and Glo Ramirez for coming in right before their events begin to tell us a little bit about it. Gunnith Cheese for you both being here today and break a leg tonight on your events.
Awesome. Thank you.
Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon where you can listen to episodes or find out how to be a guest on the show. Thanks and have a glorious holiday weekend, everybody.